Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
My bookie presents Shake Them Ropes. Use code ROPES, double your first deposit. Jeff Hawkins, Chris Novembrino. Chris, I angered the Twitterverse today.
What'd you do this time?
I was, first off, non-wrestling. I said Iron Man 2 was better than Iron Man 3, which it is. I didn't like Iron Man 3. A lot of other people did. I just didn't like it.
What didn't you like about Iron Man 3?
I found the red herring on one of the villains to not be very satisfactory. And then, you know, making Pepper Potts a supervillain / superhero, I didn't like it all. It just wasn't for me. And I'm not the biggest Shane Black fan in the world. He's the guy who directed it. I liked Sam Rockwell and I liked Mickey Rourke, you know, sue me. What can I say? And then, congratulations to Kenny Omega for making the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I said it was prisoner of the moment voting in a way, but you're eligible if you're 35 years or older and you've been in the business, I think 20 years. And I believe Kenny Omega has been wrestling for 20 years, so he was on the ballot. I think you gotta wait.
So this gets to the problem with the eligibility, right?
Yeah.
And I think that even when taken into the context of historicity, the eligibility is too low. So right now it's 35, but if you think about wrestlers of yesteryear from the 70s and 80s, a lot of them wrestled well into their 40s. So 35 was, in a lot of cases, below where peak wrestlers were at. Nick Bockwinkel, for example, peaked well after the age of 35. He was peaking well into his 40s. So I think maybe going forward here, Kenny Omega is a good illustration that the age of eligibility has to be at least 40.
Yeah, I have a weird problem, and I've discussed this on this show before. I think if you put guys in Japan, there's a lower bar to clear than if you put them in the States. And so I always get a bit mad that there are guys on that upper tier of American wrestling from the 80s and 90s who are never going to make it in the Hall of Fame, but who you can't tell the story of wrestling without, in my opinion, versus a guy who has like a good 2 or 3 years of six star, I say with a little bit of disdain, matches. You know, five. You can't up the stakes.
He had a seven-star match, Jeff.
Okay.
There were seven of them.
I'm mostly pissed Arn Anderson's never making the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I don't think they were, because then they go, well, he wasn't around long enough in terms of the team, because he's on the ballot right now with Tully and J.J. Dillon. And you know, it's a fun argument, but boy, people get tweaked easy. And I just said, hey, you know, we can wait. You know, you never know. I mean, Chris Benoit is still in the Hall of Fame for his work rate. That didn't turn out too well.
Yeah, so the other thing I would say, too, is you're not necessarily doing a wrestler a favor by making them a Hall of Famer while they are still active.
Yes, and I know that, you know, Terry Funk has never officially retired.
No, okay, but so it's different over the age of 50, where you're still doing it, and Hall of Famer actually adds to the prestige of your aging act that is no longer delivering on the physical levels that it was when you were in your 20s. When you're in your 30s and being called a Hall of Famer, especially as you get to your mid to late 30s, it sort of implies that you're over the hill. When you're not, you're in your mid to late 30s.
True. Well, as we get into this, some breaking news right before SmackDown started. Zelina Vega released by the WWE.
It's a shame because I was really finally getting into the story that they were doing. There was a long-form storytelling angle that was going on here. It was subtle. A lot of people in the what they call the internet wrestling community.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really, Chris?
Yes.
What was the story they were telling? What was the
story? It was complicated. It was nuanced.
Oh, well, what was it?
Well, you see, Andrade, Angel Garza, and Zelina Vega couldn't get along.
That's subtle.
It was complicated.
It's complicated. Oh, it's a rom-com. It's complicated. Conflicting.
There were
report.
Twists and turns, zigs and zags.
conflicting reports on whether or not this was Twitch / social media related or attitudinal, shall we say, or maybe a combination. Maybe it's halfway in between. We won't know for a while, but
the stories don't full. They are presented as though they conflict, but it's entirely possible to read and harmonize these different version of events. And it does seem to have some ripple effect from the announcement involving Twitch and these independent contractors being not really independent, more just contractors.
Well, yes. 10 minutes before the Future Endeavors tweet came out, Zelina said, "I support unionization." It's an interesting bookend to the Monday tweet, or at least not the tweet, but the Alexa Bliss interview where she compared calling someone an independent contractor to cancel culture, which I thought was a pretty big misstep. They're two wildly different things.
Yeah, well, yeah. One's in employment status and the other one isn't, so that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I know. I just, it's interesting. And then Andrew Yang also piped in tonight saying he hasn't forgotten about Vince McMahon. Okay, I'll believe something when I see it.
Yeah, no, I'm not against him doing something, but at this point, I'm with you. I will believe and assess the thing that is being done when I see the thing that I can assess.
Right, exactly. I like Zelina Vega as a presence. I think
she's got a lot to offer. They just completely missed on her.
Oh, they never fixed the character. They never evolved the character past yelling at the person she was with. It was just one of those things where in NXT it was kind of cool, you know, that she was the guy or she was the woman. She was the guy. She was the woman, you know, getting Andrade's head on straight and focused. And she was kind of the muse.
She made
to
him
that.
A champion.
Yeah. And then
that was the story in NXT. And then when it was brought up to the main roster, they never did anything with it. But she can talk. She has an on-screen presence. She can do some moves. Some of them are more choreographed spots. She actually analogizes or compares, interestingly, to Penelope Ford. And I don't know. Actually, there's some intrigue between a Penelope Ford and Zelina Vega feud. I'd be there for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind her coming in and replacing Vicky Guerrero with Nia Jax. I think that'd be a pretty good move. But
AEW, if Zelina Vega went to AEW's division right now, she's like, she's maybe not the top level in-ring talent, but in terms of, like, mic and character package, she's no lower than, like, third best.
And they need personality in that division.
They
so I'm all for
seriously need personality in that division, yes.
I'm kind of intrigued by a Tay Conti Zelina Vega match for some reason.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Sure.
Tony Chimmel, along with other parts of the live events staff, he was let go after, I believe, like 29 years with the company. Former ring announcer, but mostly did ring announcing for
the
house
live
shows,
events these
for live
days.
Events.
Yeah.
This signals that, and WWE has been doing this for some time, including on the earnings call. I think this is the new normal. I think house shows are a thing of the past.
I think that's right. I think that this is a company that is very much concerned about profitability. One of the things that has been quietly happening here over the last couple of years is WWE has come down from their great heights in terms of profitability. The stock price, I think, as we're taping today, is somewhere in the mid-40s. And that is probably not where I think a lot of people thought the stock price would be. And at one point, it was around $100. Vince did a big sell-off in the 80s. And this is a company that's going to want to remain profitable to keep their books looking good and their stock price relatively stable at this, you know, 40s level, which is a sustainable level for them. But in order to stay at this level, they need to keep doing cost-cutting measures. Some of them have been draconian and stupid and hard to justify. In the case of live events, I think that attendance was down at them, and we were seeing this before the pandemic. In the pandemic era, they were non-tenable. We are still in the midst of that. It looks like there might be some light at the end of the tunnel, but the end of the tunnel may be 3 or 4 quarters from now. They may not even really have the option of running the full touring show circuit until the fourth quarter of 2021. And in that case, you can assess if you want to do more house shows. Or they now have the Capitol Wrestling Center set up in the Capitol, Capitol City. Where the wrestling is very, very popular, and you can tell the crowds are very live. And, they can do events in the Capitol Wrestling Center and make television there, which is a more important thing. So if you're worried that people who are supposed to be getting developed aren't getting developed, they probably have a better chance of getting some degree of development in the Capitol Wrestling Center. And at some point, when the pandemic environment subsides, they'll probably be able to bring in people to the Capitol Wrestling Center and have like some sort of live audience for people to train in front of as well.
There's a swinging town I know called Capital City.
Figured you'd like that little slid in Simpsons reference.
Those are my Simpsons love. I think for overall revenue, it's a smart thing, but man, there's a lot of guys sitting around doing nothing that would get chances to work on these shows and improve despite the fact that they're never on TV. So, you know, I see both the positive and the negative of it. Survivor Series going to be marketed as a farewell to The Undertaker. Also, rumors that The Undertaker may be negotiating to come in as a coach at the Performance Center, Chris.
I'm just trying to think what Mean Mark brings,
you know,
as a trainer.
I get that, and I'm with you. The one thing he could bring is he could teach some of these big guys to work as big guys.
Yes.
But also, it's one of those things, again, with the crew they have there, people don't understand that sometimes the best performers make terrible teachers, and that's in all walks of entertainment, so to speak, because they're so focused on their own greatness, they never really learn how to give that greatness to anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a more flattering way of putting that, too, is like sometimes you know stuff on such an innate level that you don't ever have to kind of break it down or systematize it. The systems are already formed in your head.
I'm not here to do that. Everybody's selfish who's great, and they suck. No.
Yeah, okay.
Ahead.
No, that's fair. No, two different views. You gotta hear both sides.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I think, you know, like, Eddie Van Halen is a guy who has, like, a real mastery and a command of the instrument, maybe not so good at teaching music theory, but, like, you know, I mean, he just knows how to do the techniques. I think that, you know, that happens, to your point, in all walks of life.
Like, I think Michael Jordan.
Bad
teacher.
He
was with the Wizards. And he was trying to mentor young guys, and all he did was destroy people.
But you know, it's not always like that either, too, because, like, you'll have someone like Ray Allen, an all-time great shooter, but he's, like, a really good systematic guy and would be a really good teacher. Alan Houston, a great shooter and also, like, a good teacher of stroke. And he's still got the stroke, too. He still can shoot.
Sasha Banks' episode of The Mandalorian dropped at midnight on Friday. I've watched it. She doesn't do a whole lot in it, but, man, what a blast that must be to be part of the Star Wars universe and to actually not be someone who will be universally hated for decades on end. The episode was pretty good. I think she had like two lines total, but, her presence was there and it was enough to get people talking online. And I was kind of watching and they're like, who is this? I've never seen her before. What else has she been in? And then they're like, she's some wrestler. But I was more than pleased to watch it.
Yeah, no, I like The Mandalorian a lot. I think it's enjoyable. Yeah, no, I think it's a really fun Star Wars franchise. For a long time, going back into the aughts when they were making the prequels, and I was not necessarily loving the prequels, I was hoping that they would make a Star Wars franchise that expanded on, like, the bounty hunter culture. And it's been really awesome to finally have that come to fruition and for the product to be so enjoyable.
My pitch, which actually Court Bauer said, shut up and take my money. I was like, maybe I should write this up, was a war amongst the Hutts with bounty hunters and things of that nature, where there's that vacuum after the Empire's been destroyed. And people are trying to get certain power within the universe again. I thought an organized crime thing in the Star Wars universe would be kind of cool.
Yeah, so I didn't like the new series. I don't want to get, like, lost on a deep tangent here. But one thing that I'm mildly hopeful about the new series, or that the new series left completely untouched, was, almost to a fault here, they didn't really explain what happens in the fallout between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
And I think that leaves room for a very interesting movie or series about the post-Empire, pre-First Order era. Which,
yeah, they just need to get away from all of that and do a totally new universe. And this is totally too geeky for everybody else. Shut up about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, no.
This is a wrestling podcast.
The people listening to Voices of Wrestling, the Japanese pro wrestling podcasting network, they're really worried that Star Wars is too geeky. Yeah, no, I imagine that's where the mutiny is coming from right now.
AEW did a presentation about their video game future. Oh, boy. I watched this, Chris, and it's more of the cutesy, ironic. They tried to model it after an Apple presentation, and I understood that. I just didn't like it. But,
yeah, I just want to see the game.
Yes,
show me the game. I'm with you. I thought, like, it's a problem that I have with many AEW sensibilities on these fronts. But, like, no, I just want to see less talk, more rock.
Yes.
I want to see what the game is. I'm optimistic about the game.
I'm more optimistic than I was because when I saw Yuke's, I went, oh, no. But I guess it's No Mercy.
THQ AKI, the people behind WWF No Mercy, and kind of the classic N64 games. It's that engine. That engine also was used on, like, SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, and also Def Jam. So a fighting engine that people know and like, and if it gets an update and that update is not clunky or silly, like, if they come out with WCW versus NWO Revenge level of quality, they're going to have a successful game that people are going to like to play. And I think it has been a big thing that has been missing from the formula of, like, the 90s wrestling boom. There have been all these attempts to kind of bring back, you know, the Wednesday Night Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Even that framing of it. One of the big things that made WCW versus WWF kind of a multi-platform thing was the video game component of it. And, you know, WCW had the better games. So, you know, that actually probably was helping WCW along for a while until WWF ended up taking THQ from WCW. Like, the video game leg of the successful wrestling company formula in the 21st century, I think, has been ignored. Obviously, if you watch any of WWE's video games or attempt to play them. But
more people would rather play Fire Pro.
Yeah.
With that, you know, anachronistic engine.
Oh, yeah. That is a throwback to the early 90s. That is like WCW Super Brawl, WWF Royal Rumble style engine. And people are more willing to go and flow on that. And I mean, there's still a modded community for W, like, oh my
no
God.
Mercy. There is
no Mercy.
No Mercy.
Yeah, yet. No Mercy Virtual Pro Wrestling too. Just totally blanking there.
Like, I had a bunch of great mods for that for an emulator that I had back in the early aughts. So yeah, that's a fun, if the graphics can improve and be PS5 worthy, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm good with
it. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be, if they put out a reissue of Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 with cleaned up graphics, I'd be like, shut up and take my money. Like, you know, so the wrestling community has really been starving for a good game. And so I think AEW's on the right track here. I hope that they focus on making the good game now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we may have a new king of Wednesday night in terms of wrestlers. Lionel Green, 26, better known as Leo Rush, will be part of MTV's The Challenge in season 36. Show will be airing Wednesday nights head-to-head with NXT and AEW. And it blows them away every week. That could be interesting. Basically, they bring a lot of... It used to be they used to bring back, you know, their fame whores from reality shows like Real World and Road Rules to face each other. Now they're just bringing in a bunch of other people to do it and making it its own reality show. And they do obstacle courses and other challenges like that.
Oh God, Leo Rush will be really good at obstacle courses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think he'll excel at that.
And he's
kind
a bit
of
a brat, so
right.
he'll be an
no. He'll work
hit.
As a character. No, he has a character, obviously, and he has a physicality that I think will really serve him well in this sort of setting.
And if you watched SmackDown Friday night, you saw the debut of one Chelsea Green, along with. It's funny because they've phantom called up Vanessa Bourne and Santana Garrett. Just neither have appeared on television as yet. Unfortunately, during that fatal four-way match, we got word right after SmackDown went off the air that she got hurt mid-match and an audible was called. That's why Liv Morgan ended up taking the win in that match. It was supposed to be the start of a Chelsea Green push. But Chelsea Green now on the SmackDown roster, I think she'll be a fun addition. The problem is she basically has the same kind of gimmick as Carmella.
Yeah, I see her ending up as Carmella's second here in the not-so-distant future.
She's somewhere between Peyton Royce and Carmella in terms of the gimmick, which is scary because when they introduced her, all she did was kind of look, put her hand... It looks like it's going to be one of those she seduces Adam Pearce to get what she wants type of stories.
Yeah. She has a very... It's like a less interesting version of Nina Samuels' gimmick.
Jeez. Yeah, it's I don't know. I hate silent debuts. I want to know why someone's there, what they want, what their purpose is, and why I should be interested. As opposed to camera pans over, there's Chelsea Green batting her eyes, and then all of a sudden she's in a match.
Well, the guy on commentary was backstage and asking a lot of the women, and they didn't have a lot of nice things to say about her.
Yeah.
They did say that.
Oh, yeah. So that'll do it for the news section. It's give it up for our sponsors this week, mybookie.ag. Between the NFL and college ball, there's no shortage of games to watch. And with thousands of lines available on all your favorite sport and events, you can turn your game day into payday with MyBookie. You're the type of guy who likes to back the big favorites? Consider putting a couple in a parlay for a much bigger payout. I like parlays. I like betting multiples, Chris, especially underdogs. Not only do parlays make meaningless games exciting, but more importantly, they give you the chance to turn ordinary bets into a real moneymaker. Don't forget the underdogs. They have a ton of value. The thing about the NFL is that underdogs are never really dogs on Sunday. Every team truly has a chance to win, and you do too. Oh, and by the way, especially on Thursday night games, those are trap games, all of them. Game spreads, championship futures, and player prop bets. It's never too late to get in on the action and start turning your sports knowledge into actual cash in your wallet. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S, to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code R-O-P-E-S, ROPES, for you to claim your bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, presidential prop bets, which if you really want to go for the long shot right now. Vegas has not paid out, I found out. Vegas has not yet paid out because there is no official winner. All the major sports and more. Sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. And we thank them for sponsoring shows on the Voices of Wrestling Network. They've bought a few more ads and a few more weeks, so we're very, very happy with them. They'll be with us through January. Okay, where to begin on this? Full Gear. I liked it a lot. I was happy with my purchase. I thought the end of the tag match was genius. I really, no flips, just fists. And now I want Tully Blanchard to chew out Cash Wheeler saying no flips. Any thoughts on Full Gear, Chris?
Yeah. No, I'm surfing the card here. So I liked the opener a lot. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page was one of the strongest matches of the night for me. I enjoyed it a lot. It didn't have, like, it was a little long for an opener match, but like that's a common AEW problem, is like every match is a little too long. Like it needs a bit of an editor. And that was a common theme throughout this show, but like this one was really watchable. It had me engaged all the way through. Where the show kind of like would lose momentum for me is in the comedy stuff. So like Orange Cassidy versus John Silver was every comedy Orange Cassidy mid-level match you've ever seen. And it almost seemed like it was more focused on getting John Silver over. And so in that sense, I thought it was a real step backwards for Orange Cassidy. Like, we didn't see anything new from his shtick. And his shtick was being used, even though he defeats John Silver, it was being used to get John Silver over. And commentary was focused on Silver. Like, that didn't click for me. And it kind of brought down the energy. Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes, I thought was darn good. So then I get back in. And, like, this is, like, sure, my experience of the night. It's like, you have a good match, and then, like, I could go and get a Cole in the other room match, and then come back in, oh, Darby Allin, Cody Rhodes, and they have a good match. And, like, I enjoyed this match. I thought, again, too many near falls, but, like, the story was made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I liked this whole match.
Yeah, the Elite Deletion match did nothing for me. MJF and Jericho was a little too WWE for me, to be honest.
Both of them, like the Elite Deletion match, was the same Matt Hardy remote camera match you've seen since he did the final deletion.
Yeah,
it was like a water, like, and in this sense, it's kind of like the Orange Cassidy match where it's. It's not just, okay, they're having a comedy match, Chris hates comedy wrestling. It's that, like, I have seen this comedy scene from these people before. So, like, I'm not laughing now. I laughed in 2013 when he did the final deletion. Was it 2013, 2014? Yeah, like, 6 years ago, it was a hoot. Now, I have seen the Lake of Reincarnation bit a number of different times. And then Sammy busting his head there at the end was like, this is a feud that like did not need to continue, and for it to end with Sammy busting his head open yet again, or like someone getting injured gratuitously yet again in a match that didn't really need to happen, like Young Bucks versus FTR, as you said, I like the closing spot a lot. I don't mind legacy spots. I think there
were a few too many love letters.
Yes. And it got a little, because you did so many legacy spots, they got a little out of the rhythm of just telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think like maybe they gave away a little too much in this first encounter when like this is clearly, you know, AEW, Young Bucks and FTR are going to have, you know, several matches out of this, ideally. And I also, I like the finish. I don't know that I would have had FTR lose here, especially given the way you've been presenting them.
I liked Moxley and Kingston. I did. I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Kingston's a very charismatic fellow. Mm-hmm. I we've seen the Moxley and Kingston sort of like blood and gutsy sort of thing.
Sorry.
Oh no! That's all I have to say.
I was kind of disappointed in the follow up on Wednesday, how I was gonna transfer it, because I thought they're gonna kind of make some sort of redemption for Eddie Kingston eventually and sow those seeds, but it looks like they're kind of doubled down on him being a heel.
Which is really weird, because if you watch those Pac promos, I don't think you got Pac's coming back as a face out of those promos at all. It seemed like a guy fuming and raging in his house, slowly hating the world. Like, it seemed like some heel stuff to me, buddy.
What is it, the Triangle of Evil, or what did they call themselves originally?
The Death Triangle, I believe
it was. The Death Triangle, there you go. That sounds like a babyface group.
Yeah, right. even Kingston's need to separate and cleave off Pentagon from Phoenix, I don't feel like I really understand why Kingston has turned so hard on Phoenix all of a sudden.
Right.
Did I miss something?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's like he went way cold on Phoenix all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think it's just to play up that he's the one that's going to be responsible for them maybe splitting, maybe not.
Right.
Maybe they all go up against him when he takes on the Butcher and the Blade, and they, you know, that becomes a trio. I don't know.
I think where this ends up is Pac stops Pentagon and Phoenix from fighting, and then we build up to a trio match of Butcher, Blade, Kingston on one side, Death Triangle on the other side.
Chris, I am not hyped that AEW is already going to the celebrity wrestling gimmick for views. I understand it. We're in a ratings war. It's a growing company. Shaquille O'Neal, I find, has always kind of been an overvalued personality in terms of his... He's a creation of people who said he had personality, but I've never really bought into him being a personable type of thing. I think he's occasionally funny. I don't think...
He's a little too high on his own crap, which might make him, like, really good for professional wrestling.
I don't think a company that's focused on work rate, you can get away with Stephen Amell if he's in there. Shaquille O'Neal's never been the gym guy. Let's put it that way.
So in this sense, the Cody pairing is perfect, because Cody can flip and flop and fly for Shaquille O'Neal and make all the strength spots work for Shaq. The question is going to be, like, yes, Shaq's not a gym guy. The question is going to be, how in shape is Shaq going to be for this match? And, you know, provided he's in decent enough shape, you can get things like a powerbomb out of him. You can get a choke slam out of him. Probably a big clothesline out of him. Big boots and these sorts of things.
I want him to be the Barbarian. Just a big boot. All the time.
I mean, if he just clobbers Cody in the corner, like, it makes it look real stiff. That'll be worth the price of admission, to be completely honest.
Can we give him the claw from Sean Spears, maybe? The giant hand thing?
Ooh. Yeah, like the claw choke slam, even. Yeah, no, there's a lot of options here.
Look, I know a lot of people buried the debut of Jade Cargill. I thought for a first time ever on national TV doing something like that. I thought she was fine. And I will take that kind of shaky debut if I can get this Brandi Rhodes every week. I loved Brandi Rhodes in this. I love angry Brandi Rhodes. I got to the, I stood up. I paced. I pulled a Lanza. I started pacing.
I felt bad
this.
For Jade because when Brandi came out, it became even more obvious how bad Jade was struggling through.
How out of her
section.
League she was.
Yeah, no. Because Brandi was really, really good, and it made Jade look even worse by comparison.
After that promo, I went, Cody, you are one lucky man. Because to have a woman come out and defend you like that,
Jade, she's got something there.
She's jacked to the gills, man.
Yeah, no, right. I don't know that this character that she's doing right now is super comfortable for her.
No, it's not. You can tell. It's a narcissistic character, and you can always tell who's uncomfortable being narcissistic.
I don't know that she's super comfortable being the character that she's currently playing, and I think like that's part of it. I also think that they gave her a ton of dialogue rather than bullet points, and like you could tell that she was just trying to remember everything. So like I'm willing to give her some leeway, and like I agree with all of your points about how I don't think AEW really needs to be doing a celebrity match, blah, blah, blah. If this somehow results in the successful launch of Jade Cargill, I think it will be worth it.
I think Cargill needed to try and pick a fight. Kind of like how I'll go with a throwback from my youth, the baby doll type of thing where she wasn't afraid to stand up to men and challenge them. It's like, oh, you think you can hit me? Okay, fine, go for it. I think that instead of the almost seducing him in the ring.
She made a actual seductive comment at him.
She made a penis joke.
Yeah,
and I just thought that was the wrong tone to set here.
No, I agree. I think what probably should have happened is a low blow at some point, and then she decimates him with a big clothesline. And we get, I mean, she's coming out there and showcasing, she's got incredible abs. She's clearly, as you said, she's jacked to the gills. You need to actually show off her strength.
Yeah, I would agree. Play to her strengths. They tried to put her into a character box.
And yeah, that's not talking.
Right. I'm thinking about just bouncing around here and making different comments. If you got something on your mind, this is your time to do it right now.
I'm looking at Matt Sydal. What did you think of the bunkhouse match?
Loved it. It was a little too, there were a few too many set pieces.
Sure.
But overall, I liked. Oh, that's the other thing is that WWE's now trying to trademark all these old NWA things again, like Bunkhouse Stampede. But the match itself, it's bloody. It was a fight. I love the Butcher. I am so in love with the Butcher now. I just want to see him every week. I don't know what it is, but he's a big dude who looks like he can kick my ass.
Like the big burly brawling looking guys, like you sent me a link of like Meng brawling with some ex NFLer this week in like a WCW squash match. Like, that gives an aura of physicality. I even liked Rampage Brown over in NXT UK. Like, I mean, the obligatory debut match against Jack Stars.
Jack Stars must die if he's on the screen.
When I see Jack Stars, I'm like, yes. Rampage Brown looks like a big brawling dude. You know what I mean? Like, I think there is, you don't need to be like Vince McMahon's obsession with like guys being 6'6". I really think that matters that much, but
no,
like,
because it makes the 6'6" guys look small.
The same height, it's all about size differentials, right? No, I'm with you on that. It's loud, soft, loud.
QT Marshall took a hell of a dive off that ladder, too.
He sure did.
I enjoyed the hell out of this match. Something else I enjoyed, I don't know if anybody else did. I will critique the storytelling in a bit, because I think the storytelling could have been much, much stronger for this. I'm here for Leon Ruff, North American champion, NXT. I liked it a lot.
So I like him winning the title.
Yes.
And I even am fine with the belt falling off of his waist spot because, like, there is no way that it wouldn't have occurred to, like, if it didn't occur to you by the time he went up and had that moment, like, it certainly, like, it occurred to me, I was like, oh God, that thing's never going to fit around his waist. Like, it doesn't. So, I'm even fine with that spot. I think he has been played up a little too much as a fluke character here in this, and I think they needed to ramp down the humor just a little bit.
I agree.
I think that you can get it all back, kind of back on track here, but he needs to actually have, like, meaningful wins, and I'm here for him as an underdog champion. I'm here for Johnny being obsessed with, like, beating Leon Ruff, and, like, it's this Roadrunner Coyote dynamic.
Let me put it this way. Johnny Gargano was fantastic all Wednesday. All Wednesday night. He was absolutely fantastic in everything he did as a heel. And as much as I don't want him to be a heel, he's great at his job. Mocking Damian Priest, all that other stuff. Here was my problem with the Ruff win, is that it wasn't earned. And
no.
I don't need them to telegraph it. I just need them to tell me a story.
I need to care a little bit more about Leon Ruff than this.
Yes, because he hadn't been on TV, I don't think, in a while. So if you had put him on, if you did a 3-week build, and here's how I would have done. Week one, it's a squash match, but he gets one move in. Or like one punch, and then he loses. Week two, he gets two moves in. And then week three, Killian Dane comes in and just destroys him. Just absolutely destroys him. So we kind of go, well, he was building momentum for a while, but it looks like that's been stopped. And then you get to this week four, and he's on the wheel.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And, you know, he has his ribs taped from the beating he took last week, so you know the fix is in, and there's no way he could do this. And then he gets the win for the title. Hell yeah, then we're all invested, and we're kind of like, oh, they fooled us, but they fooled us in a good way. And I kind of wanted that journey, but I don't mind this either. Now, the danger they have here is that it feels like, and I don't know about you, but watching the interplay with Damian Priest, it feels like Priest is going to be the one to take the belt off of him.
Yeah, no, Priest is totally going to double-cross him.
They're going to turn him back heel, and you're just like, why build him as this charismatic babyface just to pull a dick move like that?
No, that's the thing I hate about this. Leon Ruff as a concept, I don't hate it. I just don't trust that this is going anywhere interesting.
I howled because the internet is undefeated. And somebody mocked up graphics. If NXT had been involved in Survivor Series this year, we would have had a triple threat of Sami Zayn, Leon Ruff, and Bobby Lashley. And I'm kind of here for that, too. To watch Lashley just kill him.
Oh, that, okay, like that, it'd be fun because it'd be like Lashley and Zayn just beating up Ruff, and then what you have to do is have Ruff go over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, have him beat Sammy, because, you know.
Oh, I think it'd be even funnier just the visual of him somehow getting the pin on Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, but they'd never do it. Because they'd look and they'd go, who'd believe that? Look at Bobby Lashley and look at
the whole point about Leon Ruff.
It's like, it's fake, dummy.
It is that it's fake, and that, like, yes, no one believes that this guy in a fair fight can beat Damian Priest, but it's the world of pro wrestling, and, like, magic can happen. I'm with you. But, like, especially if you're going to tell this type of underdog story, like, yeah, dude, like, Ruff is going to have to get implausible victories over people.
I want to go back in time, and I want to tell Jake Atlas, I know WWE is your dream. And yes, you'll have good matches there.
Dreams don't come true, kid.
The amount of interference in these matches this week was driving me insane. It was a long match for nothing. That's a problem, and I just kind of went, they're just going to beat Atlas week after week after week.
Yeah, right, right. No, it was a good match. I like I'm a huge Santos Escobar fan. Going back to when he was King Cuerno, he is a continuously good wrestler. It's just, I mean, as the Cruiserweight champion, you're just locked into a fairly boring track, and Legado del Fantasma is a very by-the-numbers faction.
And that's a shame. Because there is so much potential in that faction.
Yeah, right. Your weak link is the veteran Joaquin Wild. And he's not really. I'm putting weak link very much in quotes here because he's not a bad wrestler at all.
No, they're the two red shirts for the star, and even the star needs to be more of a star in my opinion as opposed to a weasel. I am flummoxed, confused. Frustrated a bit.
Baffled
even?
Conundrumed.
A bit. I don't know if that's a verb, but
no,
we'll go
it
with
is.
It.
I made it a verb. It's okay. Called Innovation 2020.
Chris, I believe it was TakeOver 31, where we were reestablishing this women's division, and we had both Ember Moon and Toni Storm debut as potential title contenders for Io Shirai.
And people back with new attitudes.
Yes. And now, despite a foot on the ropes, which doesn't help, Toni Storm lost on Wednesday because it appears that they've cooled off the two title contenders that they were bringing in to revisit Io and Rhea Ripley, which I don't mind the match, but you don't have to lower you haven't even built up Ember Moon or Toni Storm yet as conquerors in this division, and you're beating them so that they don't outshine Rhea Ripley, it seems.
It's very strange, especially because Ember's the one who's the freshest of the three, and the next would be Toni Storm, and Rhea Ripley's the person who's probably been the most kind of exposed. I mean, I wouldn't say she's stale by any stretch, but, like, you know, Rhea's been in a holding pattern here for a minute.
Yeah, it's like, look, we know she's a known commodity, and we know she's, you know, she's been pushed this year back at the Rumble, back at Mania. I mean,
Ember Moon really seems like the person to push right now.
Yeah, I just did not get that at all. Pat McAfee continues to be a godsend in all in everything. I love this. I liked the focused Breezango. That's what I wanted when they went back to NXT.
Oh yeah, when they were champions, like when they actually were doing an important thing. Yeah, no, focused Breezango is good. You can't, they've been trying to have it both ways with this team. And I think, like, people are fine with them not being a full-on comedy act anymore. Or, like, moreover, kind of like what I was talking about with the Full Gear card. We saw everything that the Breezango comedy act had to offer. And it's fine to go back to as a nostalgia pop once in a blue moon. But now, you know, we know who these guys are. And they can just wrestle as serious dudes, and I think we're fine with that.
Yeah, I'm a little worried because it feels like we're building up to a War Games with 3-4 person factions instead of two of them. because it feels like this is gonna they're gonna add Breezango, Killian Dane, and Drake Maverick to the mix.
I liked Drake Maverick's little babyface spot here. I mean, we're getting him back on track. Because you remember, there was a point earlier in the year where, like, you and I hated this guy, like, never wanted to see him again. And I'm not at never want to see him again. I don't
like the whistling and the uneasy tag team partners.
I'm not back
dancing.
On board. Yeah, no. Yeah. And, like, you know, the angle earlier where he saves his career was super icky considering what was going on behind the scenes with the company. But, like, yeah, that was a step in the right direction. I like the Kings of NXT angle. I really do.
Yeah. I like having a mouthpiece makes a faction, even if they're... Look, nobody's going to look at Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
No, Danny Burch is goofy, but like...
And think that they're these personality, you know, troves. Nobody's mistaking them for The Rock. But with this mouthpiece and having a character now, yeah, Danny Burch is just... goofy, over the top arrogance. Same with Oney wearing the suit. Pete Dunne just growls, and you know he's a badass. So yeah, I dig this. I like that they all have different personalities within the fact as well. That's the cool thing. That's what you need, as opposed to, you know, Legado del Fantasma appears to have the same personality amongst the three of them.
And then the worst thing of the week on either show is this crap that they're doing with Boa and Xia Li. Like everything involving
this. You know what pisses me off about this, Chris? And I'm glad you, because I had blocked it out and it made me so angry. This is main roster garbage. I don't want this on NXT. I want NXT to be my wrestling show. I don't want it to be my sports entertainment with good matches show.
This is Vince saw a Bruce Lee movie somewhere in the last 18 to 24 months, and it's made a real impression on him. And
is Xia being deported? Is that what's going to happen here?
And then the beatdown of Boa. Boy, if you wanted to completely, like, for a long time, you know, there have been grievances with intergender wrestling or, like, intergender encounters. I mean, grievance is not the right word, but, like, you know, people have had quibbles or criticisms about, like, what it does in terms of power differentials and that sort of thing. And Boa and Gonzalez was, like, the best example of this. Not because it's implausible, because Reyna Gonzalez is big, or Raquel Gonzalez, whatever they're calling her, is big. You know, she's stocky. But, like, if she's going to go over the top on Boa, she needs to waylay into this guy and not stop it. Instead, she would, like, hit him with one clubbing blow, and then Boa would be like, no, please don't do it. Please don't hit me more. Then she'd hit him one more time and be like, oh no, I hope I don't get hit again.
Yeah, the overacting was just a bit much. And
no, it made him look like a total goober.
You can see the Triple H influence in here now too, with the showing off of the back. Here comes body guy Triple H showing off the bodybuilder. And look, I love Reyna Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez. God, now I'm doing it. This is your fault.
Reyna's a better name than Raquel. Raquel's more generic. Reyna's got like it's a heft, man.
Have we unofficially broken up her and Dakota Kai too? Because she didn't come out with her. I like them as a duo. I always like the small person bodyguard kind of dynamic. But yeah, I just every punch and then a scream and then a beg for mercy, and then another punch. No, just beat him up. Just kick his ass.
Oh yeah, no. If it's entirely credible for Gonzalez to beat up Boa. That's not my critique here. My critique is that if you want to do that, then Gonzalez needs to beat up Boa with a viciousness and a swiftness so that Boa never really gets on track. Because like the flip of this is like Boa presented in the ring is like the martial artist guy. So theoretically, if this guy can't mount a defense when it's a slow and methodical pacing, what does that say about his in-ring stylings?
How do they not know who this old Chinese guy is?
Right. Like, and then the old Chinese guy.
Are old Asian men just teleporting into the
after the dragon
wrestling
graphic swirls around in the background?
Yeah, it's Like, what kind of security you guys got out there that that old Asian men are teleporting into the during a television taping, and we don't know who he is? Are we ever going to have an explanation to this? Is he a magician? Is he the Mandarin? Is he is he the spirit of the tank brought to life? Oh my god, that promo. That promo. I wanted something like that. I didn't want that, though, Chris. I did not want, you know, my brother was in the military, so I drive a toy tank to the ring. I thought it was a noble attempt. I just, watching her get angry, you know, you don't understand. That tank is more than, it's a toy tank. You're a grown woman.
And I thought the tank was originally about her dad.
Yeah. Well, I think her dad and her brother serve in the military.
Well, which one is it, Jeff? Do you love your brother or do you love your dad?
I'm too focused on old Asian men teleporting into the...
that character is straight out of, like, a Bruce Lee kung fu movie from the 1970s.
And they're going to call it, like, the Wise One. Or the Ancient One.
Oh, no, I think his name should be like something like Mr. Huang or something like that.
Sun Tzu.
Mr. Kwan.
Mr. Kwan. Yeah. Mr. Ho. No, oh, that's what they're going to do. They're going to find some weird double entendre. You know, Mr. Ho. Mr. Wang.
Oh, no, and then Xia Li is going to have to fight for her family.
Yes.
Yeah, no, undoubtedly she must fight for her family.
You know what? I need video now. I need video of Mr. Wang with her family on the gallows. You lose this match. It's like, man, this episode of NXT turned dark real quick. All of a sudden, we're hanging. We killed Xia Li's family. On a show. Why not? Let's go full Lucha Underground here.
Yeah, it's that Flair angle where he has to retire if he loses a match. Only in the case of Xia Li, her entire family dies if she loses a match.
And then they decide to make it geopolitical, and it's like, well, no, I'm not gonna go there. I can't go there. That's a little too dark. A little too dark, Hawkins. Especially because I have family from China. anything else on domesticated NXT? I liked the Loomis Thatcher match for what it was.
Yeah. Loomis is a babyface is weird, yeah.
Let's put it this way. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was a great match, but it was an interesting match in terms of styles. I guess is what I'd say.
I like seeing Thatcher's character challenged.
Yeah.
And I think in so far as this match is focused around Thatcher and not Loomis, it was interesting. Loomis's character is just, it's weird.
Love his presence though. That's
no,
weird
he's
thing.
Got a presence. He's got a presence. It's just like, ever since they wrote themselves into a corner with the zombie crap.
Beth did it again. That's a zombie ref.
It's not actually a zombie.
No, it's a caricature. He's doing stuff at the fair. No, I think it's the button down polo sweater with the blue, with the gray jeans. Not real wrestling gear type thing. I'm like, I want to know, what is this character's point? And I never get that. Is he there to draw pictures for the kids, or is he there to, you know, behead Xia Li's family? You know, something like that. And of course the weird Cameron Grimes interference here.
Yeah, I think, you know, him as a babyface, you really have to have heels crossing him on a regular basis. We're like, he's a nice guy, but he's just awkward. and he doesn't quite get along with the other baby faces backstage, but he's not actually a bad dude, but the heels really run afoul of him, and that, like, they need to have a set gimmick for this guy.
Creepy baby faces don't work.
I don't think they do, but, like, they seem to be married to this concept, so I'm just trying to make it better.
You know, if he was a quiet killer, that's cool, because you're kind of like, okay, you know that dude's going to do something interesting whenever he decides to act. But instead, he stalks people. He's in the background.
That's the weirdest thing. It's like, he stalks people. And that gets him over
as a hero. That's the hero of my story, Chris. The guy who creepily stalks people. We could have him look into women's windows. It's just like, what the hell are you thinking? That's not a baby face. And the problem was that it was because they teamed him with Velveteen Dream. And now they can't paint their way out of this.
Oh no, it's true. It's true.
And then they just decided to turn Dream heel. Yeah. Don't bring your friend along. Don't bring your creepy friend along.
Even though it would make a lot more sense if Velveteen Dream was using Dexter Lumis to do, like, the really creepy stuff.
Well, you know, we have a guy and a woman in a Scream outfit. It should be Dexter Lumis, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't.
And then Indy Hartwell being revealed as the Scream character was.
Can I ask something? If you're sure. Doing a beatdown, I know WWE loves their staged moments. But what is the use of keeping this mask on if you're eventually going to reveal yourself anyways?
And she was clearly having a hard time with it. Not unlike when Mr. Jack was having his match on the pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago against Bobby Lashley, you know, and missing drop kicks and that sort of thing. Yeah, no, I think that it was dumb. She should have just had the mask off once.
If the mask flies off, then commentary can put it over. Oh my God, that's Indy Hartwell, and you keep on beating the person. That's all you got to do. I mean,
and you're building, and then she can still do her turn and face the hard camera spot anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's we had to have that moment where she took off the mask, and it was who everybody thought it was. It's like, oh my God, that's Indy Hartwell, who had been sending them presents for the past few weeks. And it's like,
and was like apparently hanging out at their house last week too.
Who's the person who didn't think that's who it was? Did anybody just go, man, you know what? I would have never thought of that being Indy Hartwell. I thought this whole time it was going to be Jesse Kamiya.
Would have been a twist.
That would have been a twist. There you go. Oh, it's Leon Ruff. Oh, my God.
She takes off the mask. One person goes, oh, it's Indy Hartwell. I go, no, 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 it's not. It's actually Jesse Kamiya.
And then Hawkins is on here going, that doesn't make any sense. Well, they swerved us because it was supposed to be Indy Hartwell, Hawkins.
I say that. That's me. I'm not.
Do that too.
Yeah.
We had a disagreement on NXT UK.
Sure.
But let's go for the fun stuff first. Look, I like Eddie Dennis with the Hunt. Needs stronger character work. He needs to be Paul Ellering. And these two just need to go in there and, like, I think we've said this before.
Yeah, no, we've talked about what we think the Hunt squash match should be. And I think I agree with you. I figured you're going to say this more so even now with Eddie Dennis. Eddie Dennis needs to take them from tranquil to beast mode to back to tranquil.
He's the zookeeper. He's the falconer. He has the hoods over their faces. He takes the hoods off. They go in there. They rip a guy's face off. Maybe Jack Starr's. We can rip off Jack Starr's face, can't we?
And then he does the finger, the shush.
He puts the hoods back on, and they're tranquil again.
Yep.
Yeah. instead, we're having them struggle in a squash match.
With Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan, who seem to be stuck in one of the longest. Long form booking and wrestling being dead. And I point to you, Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan, an angle that has been going on for my entire life.
It feels like it's gone on my entire life, and yet they're only the second most boring babyface tag team in this NXT UK. Because Whoop Guy and Bootleg Kofi.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that segment. Because those guys
were dicks.
Absolutely the dicks. Yes.
They are the dicks.
Absolutely. 100%.
In fact, that should be their team name. That should be Whoop Guy and Bootleg Kofi are the dicks. And then they just...
Pretty deadly. Yes, they're dressed like assholes. They're always dressed like assholes.
They're supposed to be assholes.
But they're just standing in the performance center, just doing a thing, talking to one another.
They are learning. They are sitting under the learning tree.
Yes.
At a match. And these two jerks come up and start making fun of them, doing a bullshit reporter thing
and asking them if they're friends with Eddie Dennis. Like, what does it matter? It's not even entirely clear what Bootleg Kofi and Whoop Guy think they're going to get over on Pretty Deadly.
That's what I want them to be called, by the way. I want Bootleg Kofi and Whoop Guy.
Yeah, like, that's but like, no, they are obnoxious and I hate them. And,
obnoxious baby faces this is a WWE trope that just, because they're cocky and sure of themselves and they don't take any crap from anybody. No, they're just jerks. And they're doing a better job of being heels than the two pretty boys you got being heels right now, who will eventually be awesome baby faces once you turn them. And then probably beat Whoop Guy and Bootleg Kofi.
I think Stoker and Howley actually have a lot of potential as a babyface team.
Start them as the cocky heels at first. And then you get, eventually the hunt beats them bloody, and they're no longer pretty boys, and then they got to fight. And that's how you turn them babyface.
And this is the lay of the land right now in NXT UK is really perfect for a good babyface build. And while I know you were hopeful that Whoop Guy and Bootleg Kofi were those future babyface champions to carry this brand, I just want to say, I think it's got to be someone else.
Now I just want them to feud with Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan. And Amir Jordan. Forever. Just best of 57. and they can't be involved in any other program.
You know what, Hawkins? When Kenny Williams finally throws Amir Jordan through the barbershop window, it's going to be one of the all-time great moments in wrestling.
It's going to be, they should have done that 67 weeks ago.
No, it isn't. It's going to be worth it. It's like Dragon Ball Z, the Frieza saga. You may have had to watch it get rebooted a few times during your childhood, but once you got to the end, totally worth it.
I don't give a crap about either of those teams. They do nothing for
me. Sam Gradwell is a bizarre character, too, on this show.
Go on.
He is, like... paranoid and defensive, but I also think a baby face.
Well, you gotta realize that the other thing about these shows, especially NXT UK, is the reporters are jerks too. Hey, you lost last week. Oh, here you go. So you can't ever tell if the heel's being a heel or if he's just offended by the question.
And Wolf comes in and I think clarifies that Gradwell is a babyface, but
he teamed with the heels, didn't he?
He teamed with Pretty Deadly.
Yeah.
Who are, well, in theory heels, but maybe Carter
maybe they're
and
being
Whoop
babied
Guy.
By Whoop Guy and Bootleg Kofi.
this was a double turn, Jeff.
No, no, no.
This is a double turn promo. That's what this was.
Oh, it's subtle booking.
No, it's nuanced. I like nuance. I love nuance.
It's deep storytelling.
It's called 4D chess. I love 4D chess. Everyone knows that.
Speaking of 4D chess, your girl Nina Samuels.
Yes.
And Zaya Brookside.
Brain genius Nina Samuels.
Now look, the fake injury gimmick is a trope used way too often. in WWE. I found it intriguing that she took the loss to then beat up Xia Brookside, who, again, if WWE was smart, you bring her over to the States, you put her on regular NXT, and you push her to the moon. If you liked baby faces and making money. But you don't, because Johnny Gargano is your best heel. That said, you and I disagree on this Xia Brookside. I will let you make your case, and then I will counteract with a case I have not yet told.
Ooh, interesting. So you've got the upper hand on me here. So first and foremost, I will start with the second wing of this two-winged bird here. This is the wing you have not seen. This is the secret wing. It's not that impressive of a wing, though. So Nina Samuels, I think if you're going to have her do a post-match beatdown angle, there needs to be a motivation. We need to have an understanding what for, why was she willing to take the L to do this, and I think that it should be manifest at that point. However, I think the most interesting and intriguing part of this angle was completely swallowed up by the half-thought Nina Samuels post-match beatdown angle, which is that Xia Brookside makes the decision to cheat, essentially, to take advantage of an injury. And heretofore, she's been presented as a squeaky clean babyface. And when you have Xia Brookside become the sympathetic babyface getting beaten down by Nina Samuels after the match, you've taken the spotlight away from that inflection point, which I think is the more interesting point in all of this match.
Here's my counter argument. I think they weren't trying to show her being a heel. I think they were trying to show her being a focused athlete who would win the match. Whereas before, she was a sucker of a babyface who would try and help Nina Samuels. And I don't think they got there. I think they did exactly what you're saying they did, but I don't think they were trying to get there. I think they were showing her as, oh, this is the new, more professional Xia Brookside. The match doesn't stop just because somebody's injured, even though it now
yeah,
does.
Yeah, right. This is supposed to be a growth thing, but it wasn't.
Yes.
No, and so here's the worst part about that. So, like, I can see where you're going with this, but then she goes and checks on Nina Samuels afterwards and gets her ass kicked.
Yes, because sportsmanship still reigns, and she's sorry for having to pin someone when they were hurt, but she is now a focused professional athlete who will not be distracted by such things as entrance music or somebody jumping up on an apron, or other things that stupid baby faces do. She is now on the ascent to beat Kaylee Ray. But instead she decides to check on Nina Samuels afterwards, and of course it's a ruse, and she gets her ass beat, and she's stupid after all. So you just kind of go, all right, fine. Yeah, I saw what you were saying, but we can't turn anybody else heel in this Fed. We've toughened up Piper Niven, and we have no other baby faces other than this Valkyrie chick.
No, and they keep pulling the plug on turning Kaylee Ray babyface, but I totally think you can get away with Kaylee Ray being this, like, badass John Moxley swaggerish babyface.
Especially with Ginny out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and there's a lot of intrigue for Ginny versus Kaylee Ray, and if you're going to do that, I think Kaylee Ray makes perfect sense as the babyface in that feud.
I'm kind of here for Ginny versus Kaylee Ray, to
yeah,
be honest
me too.
With you.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that would be a really good, like, clash. No, I
Ginny is a person who should never be a babyface.
No, and I think Kaylee Ray clearly can work as a babyface instance, in particular because her heel character is based around being an opportunist and being the person you kind of forget about. And that sort of translates in babyface framing as underdog.
Yeah. Ginny's best work to me was in Evolve, I believe it was, or Progress. No, not Evolve, Progress, where she was basically the foil for Toni Storm time after time after time. And they did a little bit in NXT UK, but not to the extent that they did it before both were signed. I just wonder how you babyface Kaylee Ray. And I like your Moxley idea quite a bit. but she also just exudes pure heelishness to me.
Well, okay, so I think you had a really great opportunity to do that in the Piper Niven match, and that's what I'm talking about. They like keep kind of like starting and stopping. The Piper Niven match was a really...
Yeah, that whole thing was screwed up because you had the Toni Storm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but like,
quote unquote retirement thing, and then yeah. Kaylee Ray, and then you had Ginny attack Kaylee Ray, but now you go back to Piper Niven, but Piper Niven can't be a pure babyface anymore. She has to be tougher now because she's gotten screwed a number of times, and it's a mess.
No, it's a mess, but like there were opportunities to turn Kaylee Ray, and this division needs a babyface champion. Right now, not a heel champion. And I don't necessarily think you need a new champion. I just think that the champion needs to be a babyface.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think that can be Kaylee Ray. I just think all the interesting feuds are kind of Kaylee Ray as babyface. Whether it's Piper Niven now as this new dominant monster heel, like on a mission. Not taking any crap anymore. Done being friends with people. Like, you know, willing to take advantage of all of her assets to try to become champion. And putting Kaylee Ray very much on the hunt and very much on the run. Like, I like that. Whether it's Ginny coming in and, you know, trying to dominate Kaylee Ray and being taller and kind of like looming over Kaylee Ray. I like that. If you want to bring in Rhea Ripley and just have like, you know, the oversized thing. Kaylee Ray is always going to be undersized, and like, what can make her fun is that she's got a big mouth and she's got swagger. At the end of the day, she gets the win, and it doesn't always feel guaranteed. But like, then you also don't like want to bet against Kaylee Ray. I think she can be a really fun babyface.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. My thing is, I just think if you have a superstar babyface in this league right now, it's Xia Brookside. And
I don't think Xia's ready. I don't think she's ready. I don't think she is a main event length match type of talent yet. I think she needs to be able to carry like a television main event at this point. I have not seen that.
Okay. I that's a fair assessment. I'm not saying it's not. I just, for me, perky, young, telegenic.
There are things I see there that you can build on. I don't disagree with any of that. I just don't think that
it's something needed in pro wrestling too. I'm so tired. I am so tired of not having somebody to root for. I know that's weird coming from me being old and cynical and watching wrestling for decades and decades.
Oh no, but people need their Rey Mysterios and Ricky Steamboats. Like that's such a super important character. Like the one
person... It's why Daniel Bryan causes such a vacuum when he's not around.
Yeah, it's that one person you kind of universally feel good about. And yet, like, it's the way WWE's totally screwed up Daniel Bryan, because he totally could have been this generation's, like, always feel good about... If Vince just thought about this a little more historically driven, he's totally their Ricky Steamboat.
And the thing about that is, yes, you have that person to cheer for, and eventually I will hate that person, and I will want heels to kick their ass, and that's why I loved the Horseman beating up Dusty so much all those years. It's like, oh, Dusty's so popular, and people love him so much, and you hear people screaming for Magnum, and you hear people screaming for the Rock and Roll Express, and I just want the Horseman to kill him. And that's the fun of wrestling is, for me, was always rooting for bad guys to beat up these overhyped good guys, because they can't be that good. But now WWE's problem is they show you all the good guys aren't really that good. So it's just like, there's nobody for them to root for, and there's nobody for me to root for them to beat up those people.
No. Real quickly, SmackDown. Rey Mysterio's eye was healed with the power of love tonight on national television.
Chris.
This is a beautiful angle. Love prevailed, Hawkins. You're sitting here, you're disgusted by love. I am over here in love with love and the feeling of love. The man's eye was healed.
I'm not disgusted by love. I'm disgusted by people in their 30s date teenagers.
Oh, that's illegal now, is it?
I didn't say it was illegal. I said it was creepy.
It's wrong. Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
I'm not pushing back on. No, this is
damn you. I was trying to avoid the main roster, but here we go. Okay, Tucker's your 24/7 champ. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tucky. Good for him.
Oh, and his partner is now joining the Dork Order.
Yeah, the Dark Alpha. Join Dark
Alpha. The Dark
Alpha,
if you want to go that way. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah. Join Dark Alpha. Chad Gable is now an evil, like, motivational speaker, cult leader guy. And
the
then,
only guy I want him to bring in is Mojo. And I want him and Mojo to kill people.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty... Mojo is, like, kind of his acolyte.
I love that dude.
The worst part is that, like, we literally are doing yet another Messiah gimmick.
Yeah.
Right after we're wrapping up the Rollins. Yeah. Right, yeah. No, and then... The Jey Uso and Roman Reigns angle, they are just blowing through all the character beats on this. We already
they have to have Drew win the title on Monday, don't they?
I think so, right? Like the narrative intrigue now is McIntyre going up against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, unless they're saving that for Mania.
Or he's going to do some sort of like brand change dealy gimmick.
Or Drew wins the Rumble and challenges Roman. And this is just the seeds?
I guess. We already blew through him beating the gatekeeper, though.
Yeah.
If anything, like, the intrigue here, especially if you're doing a long-form story with Roman Reigns as champion, is Jey Uso gets a distraction victory over Drew McIntyre, and it goes to Jey Uso's head.
Chris, we blew through the Bayley rematch with Sasha.
Yeah.
Which was going to get her over the hump just for a Carmella feud. Are you kidding me? I'm so... And we still haven't had real laundry wars yet. Drew just showed up to this show for some reason. What? Don't invest in the draft. They're just going to do what they want, storytelling.
Well, no, okay. Hey, buddy. Was not a sanctioned match. That was the match between Uso and McIntyre that McIntyre won was unsanctioned, thus showing the importance of brands.
We're getting blue t-shirts on Monday and red t-shirts on Friday because it's the go-home week. Get excited. And put some money at my bookie. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring us. You can follow me at Crap Game 13. You can follow Chris at Chris Novembrino. You can just follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. We are part of the Voices of Wrestling Network. Plenty of shows to listen to there. The flagship, of course. And now live occasionally and doing their thing. That was weird listening to them for a few minutes while Rich had his audio muted. Everything Elite. Open the Voice Gate. Music of the Mat, which I love. And we both guessed it on, but if you have a love in professional wrestling, there's probably a show for you on there. Chris also does Don't Worry About the Government. He's going to tell you about what that show is now.
Yeah, Don't Worry About the Government is my news and politics show. We have a YouTube page. You can go and check out the Don't Worry About the Government YouTube. You can find that on my Twitter account for Don't Worry About the Government, which is at DWATG. I'm at Chris Novembrino. Don't Worry About the Government's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you want video versions of the show, we're now doing a video version of the show. It's exciting. It's the 21st century. It's 2020. There are a lot more video options now than there were, even just a couple of years ago. So we're stepping into the new millennium, as it were. And you can watch full video versions of Don't Worry About the Government over at patreon.com/DWATG. You can hear the show for free on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Yuffie the cat, somewhere off in the distance here, says hello.
I'm thinking if we get more subscribers for our Patreon that we don't update, I'll do video.
Okay, so no, we can do a video episode. We can like watch.
People need to see my disdain live. I guess I don't know.
I can bring the cats on the air. Like
no.
Okay, you know you're a hater.
This is a cat free show.
Oh, not on this show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery.
So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.